poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it Friday night. You've made it through to a world where drivers can't take action against each other when they're nine laps down. Yes, NASCAR is punishing Matt Kenseth. It's World Poetry Open Mic. I'm your humble host of Race Drivers. I am the Rich Vogler of the crew. Yes, break out Google and look that one up, Rich Vogler. And on my left-hand side, he is the Richard Petty of our crew. Legendary in all that he does, even if it's flipping down the front stretch of Daytona. It's Michael Amadei.
I don't even know how to take that.
I always kind of felt like the Gonzo of our crew, mostly because of the size of my nose.
Well, that's true, too.
It's pretty large. That.
All right, and on his left-hand side, he is the Rick Hendrick Motorsports mechanic of our crew, keeping our motor humming. If that motor's a three-cylinder motor, we are the Geo Metro of World Poetry Open Mic.
You're the Peter North of
you
our
the half
of our
thank you thank
of
you.
Our show.
Peter North.
Peter North. Huh? All right.
All right. Wow. I don't know where that came from.
I do.
All right.
Well, of course you do. You better know, right?
Exactly. That's how it works.
We do poetry here, along with really bad silliness. Anyway, we have sponsors to help us out with this. HollywoodCollectibles.com.
That's right.
If you need something signed by someone, just check them out. They've got everything.
No, I believe that's the Sharpie tagline.
Oh, what was I thinking? No. Seriously, though, if you want movie posters, if you want anything to do with celluloid Hollywood, they pretty much have everything at HollywoodCollectibles.com.
It's a pretty amazing site, actually. Have you browsed around much?
There's one item. I'm not going to say what it is because someone will snatch it up, but I really want one item on there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I really want one item there.
Really? I was trying to find anything from the movie Days of Thunder with Tom Cruise.
Ooh. Cole Trickle, signed by Cole Trickle himself.
Actually, would be amazing.
I really have no reason for that. I remember liking that movie when it came out. Oh, we should talk about that on Radio Angry sometime.
We should do days. Yeah. You should do all racing movies, like towards the spring, towards the beginning of racing season. Like right before the Daytona 500, so that would be February.
Well, are we still planning on going next year?
I hope so.
We're going to Texas next year to go see this. Mm-hmm. Well, we can do some stuff leading up to that. We can record something on the tracks. People will be able to hear every other.
That'd be awesome.
we can actually record in between the races.
Yeah, but I think we should do it during the races. It's so much more authentic.
So
nobody would be able to hear a thing.
Yeah, it's authentic.
If you need anything to do with stars, HollywoodCollectibles.com. Also, if you want to know how to put on a movie podcast or know how to put together a Geo Metro or a NASCAR car, check it out on knetbooks.com. They have books for everything. You can learn anything. Just check them out, knetbooks.com.
Wow, I can't believe they have something about that. I'm not going to say what it is, but...
holy cow. Really? Ooh, that picture?
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Oof.
All right.
Woof.
I didn't know they had instruction manuals on that.
Oh, they do. It's actually an easy 10-step process.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, if you want to live long enough to find out what Michael and I are talking about, you're going to want to eat naturebox.com. They're GMO-free, gluten-free, sugar-free... And then you
sucka
stick
free.
Around. They are sucker free too. I've gotten several boxes from them. Not a sucker in one of them.
Unfortunately, I've been petitioning NatureBox to start a purely sucker box, to no avail.
No avail. So we want your poetry. We want it 1 to 3 minutes long. We want free of any hate speech, free of the F-bomb until our last segment, which we're going to go uncensored.
After dark.
But I want to clarify, no hate speech during the uncensored one, too.
So, we'll do as many segments as it takes to do regular callers, right?
Yes.
Then we're going to do a return engagement.
Yes.
Then we'll do an after dark.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's beautiful. So now that you know the order, you're going to want to call 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Rock our phone lines.
Like Mother by David Lewis Paget. When I met and married my wife, I opened a secret door. I knew that her mother, Grace, was strange, but I didn't know what for. They spoke so low that I couldn't hear in a mother-daughter pact. But Ellen, she was my holy grail, till I found it was an act. I'd been brought up in the English way of roast beef, fruit and veg, the mint that grew and the rhubarb too by our garden's privet hedge. I didn't know there were other things that were quite beyond my ken, but she'd come up through a different school, though I didn't know it then. They say you should check the mother out if you want to save your tears, for what the mother is like right now is your wife in 30 years. And Grace was skinny and pasty-faced, with a rock-hard gimlet eye, while Ellen was soft and curvy then, and just a trifle shy. Grace was running a cuisine club for the village ladies all. Every Wednesday they'd go en masse down to the village hall. Ellen said there were treats in store, but I didn't really see, not till she brought it home with her, that she'd try it out on me. First of the treats she brought on home almost knocked me through a loop. I said, "What's that in a steaming bowl?" And she answered, "Bat wing soup. You might need a knife and fork for it. The wings have a leathery feel. It won't take long to get used to it. It tastes a little like eel." After I'd gagged and choked a bit, I managed to keep some down. I said, "I'd rather have beef, my love." But she stood a while and frowned. "I've made you a special omelette of turtle legs and bees, bound together by turkey eggs and just a little cheese." I couldn't say what I thought of it. She would be dismayed, my wife. I knew the love she'd put into it. It would only cause a strife. But every Wednesday she'd bring one home, a treat for me to try. Her casserole was a lucky dip, and snake in her cottage pie. I suffered it for a month or more, then I put my case to her. I draw the line at toadskin wine and a pie with rodent fur. "I love you, Ellen, I really do, but your mother gives me the creeps. Her witch's recipes just won't do. I hate ragwort and leeks." We came to a final arrangement. She could do what she'd always done. The whisk broom under the stairs, she said, was her idea of fun. I tried to ignore the pointy hat that she wears when the moon is high, but she never feeds me toads and rats, though her mother asks her why.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice, it's just another quiet Friday night at World Poetry Open Mic. Me and three of the greatest chums, or two of the greatest chums that worked in poetry. Right? There's the mouse.
I have a doppelganger.
Yes.
No, Jennifer Lopez.
No, Jennifer Lopez. But Senor Puentes taught me how to do it.
Jeez. You make one faux pas and they just write it like a sandworm.
It's okay. I make faux pas sandwiches for breakfast.
Sandworms? Oh, sorry.
All right. So we do have three callers lined up. Which triggers? Or are we going to do another segment?
Well, I mean, I am willing to do one other segment. All right.
We'll try again after this and see if more callers, you know, some Friday nights are busy. Some Friday nights, well, they're comfy and cozy with family members.
That's true. Well, it's up to you.
And it's after dark, so we can be comfier and cozier later.
What are your thoughts, Michael?
I think I'm warm. I don't need to snuggle with two other men.
It's not snuggling, it's spooning.
Spooning for warmth. Uh-huh. No, I think we could definitely do a second segment. I mean, really,
all right.
Yeah. I mean, okay. And that's actually what a return engagement would be as well, but, you know. Hey, let's do it. Let's do
just throw
segment.
The rules out the window.
Let's see what happens. All right. No, let's do a second segment after it and see what happens.
All right. So let's go to our first caller. He's always number one in our book, and he was our first major fan to the show. Please welcome Dennis.
Hey,
Pause for one moment, Dennis.
Hold on, Dennis. Do this properly. So sorry, guys. I had all that time. Here I go, not clicking on the right thing at the right time.
All right, Dennis, yeah. Now there you should be with us.
That's the sound of us judging
okay,
you.
Dennis, I'm sorry about that.
No problem. I'm glad to be here. It's Friday night.
We're happy to have you.
We're happy to have you. We're happy to have the equipment working.
Yes. Well, it's the most special night of the week for me.
Yeah.
I have a poem to share with you. The title is The Beauty Within, and it's written in the rondel form.
All right.
The beauty that resides within, it shows itself in caring ways. The acts of kindness one displays, and thoughtful words with poets.
Dennis, are you there with us? Hello?
Dennis,
Your phone cut out. Can we have you start over, Dennis?
Okay.
I am so sorry. Please start from the beginning. We'll just do it over again. Take two.
All right. Sorry about that. Here we go. The beauty that resides within, it's written in the rondel form. The beauty that resides within, it shows itself in caring ways. The acts of kindness one displays, and thoughtful words a poet's pen. You see what's good, refrain from sin, and be a blessing all your days. The beauty that resides within, shows itself in caring ways. If you fall down, get up again. Persevere through life's daily ways. Give God to the land, Christ's praise. You'll find your peace and your achievements. The beauty that resides within. The end.
The end.
Well, Dennis, if you're able to hear this, something's happening in the call, and it kept dropping down two times.
Yeah, same spot, too.
Yeah.
Volume-wise.
You know, that's rough. There's nothing we can do on this
no,
end.
No.
And a lot of times, you don't know until you've made the call how the cell service is going to act.
But.
Nope. Okay.
But.
Well, we'll try again another time. Thank you so very much. Let's hear some more poets.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, Dennis. That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio.
Boy. You know?
Yeah.
Cell service is really wonky. Dennis, we really want to hear your work. I'm sorry about that. Just technology sometimes.
It's the way it works.
Yeah.
That was weird. That it was like right at the same spot in the poem, too. That's the part that was tripping me out.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that he was saying something controversial that maybe a government agency would want us not to hear?
Nah.
Oh, no.
Nah, not Dennis.
Not Dennis.
Well, maybe it's code words that he isn't even aware he's saying.
Oh.
Yeah. See that?
You know, between that weird incident and the Munchkin Whacker that you guys were playing with earlier.
I'm excited about that.
That's really, my brain's frying right now.
Well, you know.
It was all that great.
I'm part Italian. Sometimes there's munchkins who just need to get whacked.
Yes.
Hi-ya!
Oh, man. All right. So let's go to our second caller. She's calling us all the way from Connecticut. Please welcome Barbara.
Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I hope this doesn't happen to, you know, my poem, too.
Probably will. Yeah. Probably will. We've got a button we didn't tell. Oh, wait. I shouldn't have said anything.
No.
Michael!
That's not cool.
No, that's not true.
We have one of those buttons that, you know,
Well, technically, in the radio business, they call it a dump buttoning. And yes. We put Mike in charge of that because, you know, nobody knows dumping like him.
Wow!
That's true. I have a lot of experience.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Don't play that up too much in your imagination. That's not the only reputation I have, Barbara. So that's where I feel okay.
Okay, good. You know, as long as there's some other people that have different opinions.
Oh, no. Everybody has the worst opinion of me ever. So let's just...
Oh.
Yeah. It's really sad, Barbara. It's really sad. Everybody hates me.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael, you might as well just go eat worms.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I was kind of thinking about that. I do have a cross in the backyard I can get on after the show.
Awesome. I've even got 9-inch nails in the garage.
Oh, you do? Oh, phenomenal. I love their second album.
Okay, yes, Barbara. That's my favorite
I'm so
one, too.
Sorry, Barbara. We're off on a weird tangent.
All right. Do you have a poem you'd like to share with us?
I do, and it's going to, you know, put your mood down. But I had to take my – this is the preface to this poem. I had to take my daughter to the doctor, and it was just a checkup. And there were two ways to go. I could go by highway, or I could go by this road that my husband used to drive on, and which I haven't driven on since he passed away. And so this is called The Ride. Okay, that's just all you need to know about this poem. The Ride. I took the longer way, facing traffic rather than the lonely expanses of the winding country road you love to drive upon as I dozed, listening to the outlaw country music you grew to love in the last years, and watching the scenery drifting into conversation, floating in a combination of sleeplessness and hunger, hoping the endless trip would finally come to a close. The final destination was another waiting room where you were such a frequent guest. The nurses called you by name, and the doctors were more friends than administrators of care, sliding around the reason for your visit as if it were just a jaunty, friendly pop-in for coffee and Danish, instead of what it was, the watchful decline of your health. And I became so used to the little changes, I never noticed when the person I had known turned into a medical emergency and one who would need to be held together, fragile as a tree branch in an ice storm. And the doctors never spoke the truth, at least not to me. Maybe you knew and kept it inside. Perhaps you kept it from me, thinking I was not strong enough to know, as we traveled in silence with only the growls of my hungry stomach, until on the way home we stopped for lunch. In hindsight, it was like refurbishing a ship, while it gradually sank at such a pace. No one realized it was sinking, until too late, and it was totally submerged.
Well done, Barbara.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing on our show. Thank you for being a ardent supporter of poetry and spoken word art.
I wouldn't miss this guy for the world. This is like the best thing ever on Friday. And I was watching something really good. It was like... this performance from Lincoln Center live, it was a Showboat, and they had all these amazing singers and actors on there, Vanessa Williams and what's the guy, Norm Lewis was singing the Old Man River part, and just so great, and I gave it up to come here.
Well,
thank you.
Barbara, thank you so much. And the thing I got to say, anything from the Lincoln Center, especially Showboat, we are way better than that. We're so much better. I'm really glad you made the choice. You made the right choice. This is the quality entertainment for the evening. No, thank you, Barbara.
You're welcome. I mean, I'm seeing it on Apple TV, so I can go and get it anytime. Oh, I want it still.
So the sacrifice still, was...
Yeah.
It was still a sacrifice.
It was a sacrifice.
Watching.
Yeah,
that's true. Vanessa Williams is hypnotizing.
Absolutely. And like I said, I love this show and would not miss it unless I have to miss it in 2 weeks. But other than that, and it's for a wedding, so.
Fair yeah. enough.
Well, no, what you do is there's an app on your phone you can get that you can listen while the wedding's going on.
And you can call us during the wedding, and maybe we can get you to read a poem for the bride and groom, and then we can broadcast it live at the same time.
If we time it right, they'll think that you're giving them a speech, but in reality, you're just holding your phone out there reading it to the show.
There you go. Okay, so that's a bad idea.
I would have to hide it. No, I'd have to hide it in my bag, you know, and do that. But
I haven't done that yet.
We're poetry. We're not drugs. You don't have to hide us.
Although there was some problems with the Canadian authorities.
This is my niece's wedding, and she is probably going to have everything controlled. So, you know, that kind of thing. Everything will be, you know, what she wants, and I'm sure she does not want me. I want poetry open mic.
Oh, I'm sure she wouldn't mind. If she knew how addicted you were to wordplay.
True.
Okay.
True. I will definitely be writing a poem about the wedding, though, for the next week, so you'll get a little taste of it.
Beautiful. Okay. And bring us some wedding cake. We want a taste of that, too.
And definitely bring your wedding cake, because you have to, you know, sleep on it.
There you go.
Yeah, we accept that, you know, in two-day UPS mail. That usually is how it works. Just throw it in a box and send it to us. All right. Thank you, Barbara.
You guys. Take care. I'll talk
to you later. That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. That's good when we get our callers giggling so hard they can't even talk. That's awesome. How do we round out this segment?
I don't know.
Can we make things any more weird or awkward?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
But yes.
I don't think we need to.
No.
This microphone I'm using got the new microphone smell. It's kind of a little. Thank you
is
for
that.
Is
that what that smell is?
That's what that smell is, yeah.
It's kind of like a polyurethane, but not.
Yeah, and it's like inches from my nose.
You know, I offered to have
everything
you
is inches from your nose, my friend.
That's true. When I come here, it's 15 minutes ahead. What's that from?
Roxanne?
Well, Cyrano de Bergerac, but close enough.
You know.
All right.
Hey, same difference, right?
One has Steve Martin as a fire
chief. The other one
chief.
Had a Gerard Depardieu as...
Well, Rostand, but, you know, yeah. Fair enough.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about the book.
The play.
That too.
Hi. Shakespeare wrote it as a play. It ended up in a book.
God. Boy, the corrections segment next week is going to be horrible.
So what was that about Harry Potter getting in a lightsaber fight with Captain Kirk? Is that?
Yeah, that did happen.
Yes. All right.
I have it on good authority that really happened.
All right.
Let's just move
on.
Okay.
Wheels come off so quickly. Someone here to put our lug nuts back into place. Please welcome Philip.
Howdy, fellers.
Hello, and welcome to our crazy show tonight.
Oh, well, you know, I'm honored to be a guest. So.
Well, we're happy to have you.
Be our guest. Be our... No, I'm just kidding.
You guys crack me up, man, I'm telling you. Well, I will get to it then so I can get out of the way and... I guess I'm the last reader, aren't I?
You are for this segment. We're going to try one more with unique callers. There's a couple people I've seen trying to call in. They're running a little bit late tonight.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was wise of you guys to do another segment. That's very kind of you.
That's all JT. It was all his brainchild.
Well, thank you, JT. Thank you, Haiku Master. I appreciate that, sir.
You're welcome, Philip. It was for the poets.
There's a reason he's a level 29 Haiku Master.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mess with him. Yeah. Well, I'll get to it. It's a pretty short title. Soliloquy delivered through an AM phone. Take calls from an unknown male whose voice resonates as every man, fatigued, middle-aged, and lonesome, in the throes of a depression full-blown during the cold, early dusk season, to which I empathetically confirm is familiar and that he is not alone. Tells me the saddest things, suicidal contemplations past Rorschach midnight when the memorized ink blots take on hallucinatory personas and talk mad, belittle and mock acerbic. Admits that he cannot do it only because he resolutely fears there will not be enough pallbearers to carry his bulky inert mass back into the earth's solemn hollows. I say it will be okay, my friend. There will be ample time tomorrow for those eventualities and inevitabilities, and that now also presents momentary pauses, respite from the weary and fiery psyche so utterly awake it blazes. Time enough to sleep, to lathe beneath the reliable moon or sun, witness them orbit in perpetual motion while easing his eyelids closed, and omits a moment the ills that produced this wretched state. Perchance a soft-hued dream buttressed against the harm of his beleaguered past. Even forgiveness before the restorative calm resting dead center in the storm that rages ongoing and relentless. And there it is, fellers.
Very well done, my friend.
Thank you, sir. And I take a bow, and I'll let the next callers call in.
All right. And we'll hear you during the return engagement and probably the adult segment, too.
Oh,
the
yeah. Well,
after
I'll
dark.
Certainly be there for that, right?
Exactly.
I think I'm an adult, almost. So, you know.
Yeah. You know, let your inner 12-year-old out.
Yeah. Cheers, guys.
We'll talk to you later. That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. That was a quick segment. Yeah.
It was a mini segment.
We've got a couple people calling in right now. Give us just a couple moments. We'll get to you. I'm going to read a quick one. Last week I did a ghost story called The Signalman. And I was going through my collection tonight looking for a couple of things. And I happened along this. I wrote this in 2011. This is entitled A Signalman's Poem. At the tunnel's mouth he does stand, covering his face with his hand. As if a warning he does shout, "Hello down there, look out, look out." News on the wire in a flash of a coming train's horrid crash, as if he was a mystic scout, "Hello down there, look out, look out." Again he's standing in the wind, and the same warning he does send, filling the signalman with doubt, "Hello down there, look out, look out." A train stops filled with moans and cries, a passenger suddenly dies, waving his hand, this man so stout, "Hello down there, look out, look out." I am so scared I cannot speak, seen three more times again this week. Now his warning seems so devout, "Hello down there, look out, look out." I throw the switch, but stand in place, I see the horror on his face. The train's engineer gives a shout, "Hello down there, look out, look out." And that was my retelling of Dickens.
Good one. So, I actually, while you were doing that, I had this thought that kind of triggered something in me. Do you mind if I read one really quickly?
I don't mind.
It's not
no.
mine. It's
no.
it's a well-known cover.
All right. You're allowed to do cover poetry.
Well, thank you. I didn't realize I had that permission.
You needed it, though.
I know. In writing. Okay.
Triplicate.
It's right there. See?
Oh. I didn't see that. All right, here we go. Remember, remember, the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. Guy Fawkes and his companions did the scheme contrive to blow the king and parliament all up alive. 60 barrels laid low to prove old England's overthrow. But by God's providence, him they catch with a dark lantern lighting a match, a stick and a stake for King James' sake. If you won't give me one, I'll take two. The better for me and the worse for you. A rope to hang the Pope, a penorth of cheese to choke him, a pint of beer to wash it down, and a jolly good fire to burn him. Hola, boys. Hola, boys, make the bells ring. God save the king. Hip, hip, hooray.
Hip, hip, hooray.
We went through the 5th of November. I realized, you know what?
Yeah.
That is one that, well, mostly because of V for Vendetta.
Yeah.
People
but
know.
I was actually going to post yesterday. I didn't. I refrained from it. I was going to post, wow, today's the 5th of November. Was I supposed to remember something?
Oh, wait, man.
Now, Barbara just said today is National Nacho Day.
Well, it's not Joe Day either.
Okay. We just got new mic stands.
Yes. And I had missed that sound, by the way.
The spring sound?
It's an incredible sound, people.
I had missed that.
But as a sound engineer, you want to strangle the people who do it.
But the thing that's interesting is I think yours is an actually whole tone higher than that one.
What? Do yours.
Okay, well, okay. What are you doing? Oh, okay. Do that one.
Okay.
No. No, it sounds more like
a... it's not stretched. That's why.
Yeah.
There you go.
We can create music like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Enough goofing around. Sounds that like does it for that segment. We do have callers trying to get through. So if you have not called the show yet, you're going to call it now, 720-240-9766, and share your poetry with the world.
We're done with the spring shenanigans. 720-240-9766.
Spring on us. We are the next evolution of Poetry Radio. C.W. McCall throwing down for us. You know, we should get some more people to do that.
I think we should.
We're working on it.
Yeah. If you know any famous poets you think that should do a drop for us for the show, let us know.
Exactly.
Put them in touch with us. Let's do it. This is all for us. For everybody.
For everybody. This is something, a platform we're building for you. I say we're building. We've been doing it for 3 years. But we're constantly changing, tweaking, working with stuff. And every once in a while, a surprise springs on you.
I just have this image next week. You're going to come down here and all the springs are going to be off your stand. No. JT will be in the corner with some clippers just laughing maniacally.
You guys don't deserve quality equipment.
Yes, very good.
That would be cool through the Munchkin Whacker.
And that's the quote of the night. Anyway.
All right. So we do have five lined up, which means we're going to continue on doing segments after this. And I see someone else is trying to call through. Rexanne, hold your phone call. We'll get you in the next segment. Right now, we'd like to go out to New York. Please welcome Lorraine.
There she is.
Lorraine, are you there?
I certainly am here. And forgive me for my... I have too many things spread over my bed, so...
After dark comes after this whole show, okay? We're going to do it at the end of the show. You don't talk about stuff being spread across your bed.
It's called bed. Bedspread.
I'll write that down somewhere in my mind. I'll keep it very safe. No one will hear it again.
No, that's fine. I was just playing with you anyway.
I was just thinking, you know, I was looking at my cat today, and I said, I seek the simple peace. I so envy watching my cat. You know, have a cat. You know, they know how to do it. It's just anyhow.
Well, you know, okay, they do. Cats do.
They're not cruel.
I could see that. I could see that.
Nothing bothers them. I mean,
except your behavior and maybe your clothing and maybe your attitude and the aesthetics of the room and the way the dog acts. The way
I'm
their cats
not
act.
Give you a trick. Yeah.
You want me to do what?
That. Okay, I got a poem for you. This was written, and it's a very special one because it was written to someone I was once in love with, and it's dated December 1st, 1977. So we're going back. We are mostly time apart. Our minutes together. Sand sift through longing fingers as your saddened goodbye eyes prelude the emptiness I endure. In a laughing, bright, nightlight, screaming world without you. We are the best of times together, even when allowed only momentary touches. As we pass in the night, obeying the rigid, unfeeling master timekeepers who part our souls as a printed schedule parts a train from the railway station. My time now is minutes spent away from you, awaiting our momentary touches. When we cram a lifetime of loving and living into small moments, as we pass and touch and return to different time-ordered worlds and time-ordered lives and linger on the goodness that was our touching end poem.
Loved your poem. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
Thank you.
And you'll be calling back for the return engagement and quite possibly the after dark.
Oh, you got the after one today.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I have one.
Unprotected poetry
backwards.
All the way.
I definitely will. And I hate to ask you this. Anytime for the second call, about 20 minutes.
I don't know. We don't know. We're going to keep going until we run out of callers.
I know.
Now, we were short in the first segment, but...
Talk to people.
I'm sorry?
But I'll be calling.
All right. Looking forward to it.
If I don't go to sleep, I'll be calling.
That's fine.
I love you.
Love you, too.
Okay, kids. All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
That was Lorraine on World Poetry Open Mic, the next Evolution in Poetry Radio. You know, I just caught that I love you, too, coming out of my mouth, and... Kind of like our occult and occult, aren't we?
Well, I think when you're like, join our family, wear these clothes, partake of my body. That's the weird part. It starts getting weird when you
well,
do
no,
that.
Well, the partake of my body doesn't happen, but once a month at the end of the first month, show of the month.
That's weird, dude.
Is that when the molting happens?
Doing it at, yeah. Of course, he says it like Gilbert Godfrey, you know.
Partake of this body!
Oh, jeez. Wow, that's a mental image that I didn't want. Thank goodness we have great callers to recover from these weird outbursts that we have. Please welcome from Pennsylvania, she is Martin Carroll.
Hello.
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 You're going to want to turn down your listening device just a little bit.
Oh, I forgot. I had to raise it because it's so low. I got it all the way down.
All right.
Okay.
How low can you go?
My radio's not coming over, is it?
Not anymore.
Okay, good. All right. I do other things, but I'm basically an innovative, broken-hearted poet. That's what I write about. And this one is called It's Raining in My Heart. My hubby calls from the hospital, better, far from home. He's not coming home for a long time. I sang him a song with meaning, and I told him this is how I feel. He was so touched, he almost cried, and our tears blend together. The loneliness touches my soul, puts me into torturous pain. It's so hard to cover it up, so deep in my weeping heart. Plaster a smile on my face that isn't felt, and joke around like there's no tomorrow. The silent screams, the unshed tears that I never allowed to form. So tired from never taking a break, even when I should be sleeping. From the falling sun to the sun rises to create a new dawn. So wide awake, who knows when I'll kiss the pillow. Feeling very quiet, but at the same time peppy. So full of life, I could run a marathon. My gloomy room, not as dark as my heart, is shattered in many, many pieces. Too many pieces are missing. I just can't put it back together. Honey, I love you. I love you more than I did yesterday. More than fish need water. Your essence is all around me. I feel your presence all about me. I reach out for your hand, and there's nothing to reach for but thin air. I call out your name, not a sound, not even an echo. I just wish I could look over my shoulder and see you standing there for just one more hug and a kiss. In desperation, I need to hear you say, I love you one more time. Baby, I will love you forever, and you will always have my heart. I love you with hugs and kisses nonstop, loving you, loving me. And that's the end of it.
I like that one. Thank you for sharing that.
I do a bunch of things like, you know, tributes to the vets, even religion, Christmas. But I deal with the brokenhearted.
Yes. That's strong emotions breed good poetry, and I think you've tapped into a good thing.
Yeah, there. I agree with that. Because that's what I do. I get inspired very easily. I hear the right word, and I write out 30, 40 lines sometimes. I already wrote 70 lines. I think that was to the vets. And, when I'm emotional, that's when I do my best poetry.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So.
Because, you know, you start writing with feelings and it makes a better poem.
Very well done. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
That was Morton Carroll on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Mm. Great.
Yeah.
Our poets, they're phenomenal. So.
Man. Well, so it looked like this segment picked up a little bit better, didn't it?
It did.
It's like everybody was late or something.
Well, we, you know.
We did have a time change.
We did have a time change this weekend.
Not but everywhere.
Yeah. Okay. Stop drumming your... Thank you.
Like, oh, that's right. I can't touch anything now.
Yeah, see?
Oh, I can't touch anything. I can't even type. Well, this just...
Well, you couldn't type before, but that's all right.
Okay.
Oh.
Advanced hunt and peck, yes, I will give you that.
Okay.
All right. So, from Pennsylvania, we're going to go on up to Michigan, the poet state. Please welcome Samantha.
We're going to go on up to Michigan, the poet state. Please welcome Samantha.
Good evening. How are you tonight?
Good. Oh, we're good. Sorry, my mic was off.
Oh.
How are you?
Yeah. So it was your fault. It wasn't Dennis.
Sorry, my mic.
Sort of.
Sort of. Yeah. That time it was his fault.
Okay. There, I turned off the speakers. It sounds better now.
It does. Much better.
Hi. Good evening. This time I have a poem. Being that it's fall and everything is changing colors out there, I ended up writing a poem about basically the life of a leaf. And the name of the poem is Turning a New Leaf.
Okay.
Okay. So, there we go. Pushing forth, I emerge from the stem, twisting, turning, growing. The sun coaxes me to stretch, unfold, reach outward, face upward. Through my veins, nature surges, a life force connecting me to all. Suddenly, I am lifted, twitching and shuddering in place, occasionally twirling, floating softly, casting sensuous shadows that beneath me travel a recurring path until they engulf me and I rest. Slumber precedes the sun's warm embrace, arriving each time from a new bearing. Gently rocking, I taste the succulents coursing in my veins. I now engender a larger silhouette. A crispness sets in, overwhelming and chilling the sun's breath. Nearby, a butterfly takes repose before a long journey. Jealous of the splattered pigments on ethereal wings, I begin to blush, influenced by each brilliant hue. Waning, once vibrant flesh becomes a frail kaleidoscope of color, settling on red as lumens dictate. The sun visits less often now, eliciting separation anxiety. Old bonds are worn. My grasp fails and I fall, leaving behind a dormant skeleton. Remembering how I would float and sway, I muster one last dance, aligning myself to meld with my shadow, ending its existence amid flamboyant rustling.
Very well done.
Thank you.
And thank Dennis for telling you about our show. I'm glad you call and share.
Pardon me?
I said I'm glad you call and share with us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And hopefully we'll hear from you to return engagement, and then we, you know, we do a little more of an adult thing the first week of the month at the very end of the show.
Okay, I'll just listen to that maybe.
Okay,
I won't
fair
be
enough.
Participating in the adult one.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what
not
I do
myself.
Too. Yeah, I just sit.
Michael's
back.
A voyeur. He likes to sit back and watch.
Yeah, that's sometimes I hide my face too.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Samantha. That was Samantha on World Poetry Open Mic, the next Evolution Poetry Radio. There you
Whoa.
Go.
Good throw.
Boomerang baseball.
You didn't even look at that one.
Didn't have to.
You're like a cool guy walking away from an explosion.
Yeah. Don't even flinch.
Only it was a ball in the water.
Only it was our radio show. Don't even look back. Just keep on walking.
Because I know it's going to crater.
And then when it happens, I just yell, keep on walking, hero. Keep on walking.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That was very funny, Michael. All right. So from Michigan, we're going to go down to, we'll call it pre-Texas. Please welcome Oklahoma. Zachary, are you there?
I shouldn't be laughing at this.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, there we are.
Yes. Tonight's title will be War, and it's actually part of another writing that I read on here before, which was Words of Gold.
Okay.
And there's actually more pieces to it, so I'll start doing each one of those each Friday.
Nice.
War. Onward have I traveled, upon an open road, a future in the making, my stories being told, misjudged by non-believers, but still I walk with you. This cross I bear, I'll carry, until we both are through. Sometimes it is unpleasant, as my soul is torn apart. Yet I know that you are teaching, and I too must play my part. So I ask that you give guidance, keep me protected as we go, using me as your example, and at those times it takes its toll. Build a strength within me when I feel faith fade away. Do not let me fail my mission, and from you not let me stray. There will be weapons forged against me. They shall not prosper. This is true. It is a promise of your armor, and I've seen what that can do. Your sword, your shield, your helmet, and your angels by my side. Giant warring at the ready to always turn the tide. Your favor is upon me. I know that all is well. It is time to cast out demons and send them back to hell. In your blood I have been covered. With the God I shall not fear. I am your soldier. I walk in faith. Satan has no power here. Amen.
Very well done. I'm looking forward to the other pieces to that epic work that you've got going on.
Well, like I said, I figured at some point I'm going to put them just all together and do a self-published book because there's so many of them. It's like they're written in such a way, it's telling a story of a traveler, like a traveling scribe. So I was like, go ahead and start reading piece by piece each one.
Nice. And I welcome you to do it. Already looking forward to your next piece.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That was Zachary from Oklahoma on World Poetry Open Mic, the next Evolution of Poetry Radio.
Man.
I know. I like those pieces where it's like to be continued and you continue on and continue. We've had that happen a couple times.
You like to be continued stuff.
Oh, you know, like an on-running story, kind of, you know, where you have episodes, webisodes.
You like poetry with webisodes?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did Lord Byron have a bunch of those?
No.
I remember.
No.
Yeah.
We're on the forefront. We're riding the front of the wave of poetry now.
You are Criscoed up and riding down the front wave of the yes. Freudian slip and slide of poetry.
I never miss an opportunity to Crisco myself up.
I don't either. In fact, it's what I'm wearing under these clothes right now. That's why it smells so good in here.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do Crisco.
Yeah.
What do you use? Baby oil.
Oh, you use baby oil? So that just makes you think of babies.
Oh.
Yeah, see? There's the conundrum. Shoot.
That's why their belly buttons are so slow to heal, is because we keep draining the oil out through the belly button.
Is that where it
you
comes
know what's
from?
Funny? You know what's funny? Oh. I saw that coming so from a mile away, and I was like, it's going to be a train wreck.
I'm gonna guess watch what, it Michael? It was.
Oh. All right, so there's no going halfway. Once you go to pre-Texas, you just have to go all the way in. Please welcome from Houston, she is Juanita. Hello. Hey, welcome to our show.
Oh, yes. This is Ms. Vera. I'm calling you with a poem called Summer Dreams.
All right.
Okay. Excitedly, we ran into the watermelon field, our eyes bulging with excitement to taste the sweetest of summer's fruits. A childhood memory peeps its face through layers of time and space. We live to savor the ripest of melons, something tasting all its sweetness. We sat in the open field, making a circle. While we ate, laughed, recited stories and dreamed. Dreamed of all the pink and cool green around us, like icicles that kept us cool on the hottest of summer days. Watermelons, watermelons all around. Who could ask for more? I dreamed of watermelon fields that extended on and on, beyond my wildest dreams, beyond the years, beyond my expectations. Gone is the innocence of yesteryear. Still, it lingers in the memory of those long hot summer days. We ate, laughed, and dreamed of unbelievable things while we ate watermelon. Its taste and scent imprinted in my heart like a sweet melody. Every now and again, I have dreams of watermelon fields. Unlike a dream, I feel the breeze, smell the delicious scent, hear the insistent chatter of children at play. Happiness that grows in the fields of my memory, where its vines hold me captive in time. So that's it.
Very well done.
Thank you.
Juanita, keep calling our show. I love your work.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I'll be listening to you.
Beautiful. Bye-bye. That was Juanita on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Boom.
Yes. It's a good segment.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
Except for train wreck of a joke that I...
No, there it was a good segment. There's a lot. You ever seen Muppets in Space? My favorite Muppets movie.
Okay.
Okay.
There's this part where Rizzo the Rat gets sent to the rat laboratory, where
yes.
David Arquette is a particularly mean-spirited doctor.
Aren't all doctors?
Well, in that one. I'm here because of doctors, so I'm pretty good with them. Anyway.
Awesome. Okay.
So, there's this one part where... so in part of this large Italian rat. I can't remember his name.
I don't remember it off the top
of my head.
But
they're playing checkers or something like
uh-huh.
that. He's like, all right, it's your move. And he looks down at the board, which are Rizzo moves, and he's like, well, that's a good move. And I know this is a long story, but every time you're like, that was a good segment. I pictured that. That was a good segment. That was a good move.
That was a good move, yeah.
That was a good poem.
Well, it was.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. It's not discounting it at all.
It's not discounting it at all.
No.
It's funny. No. It's good. It reminds me of the
Muppets. That's
all. Yeah. So I'm trying to pull up a poem, but my device is working slowly, shall we say?
Yeah.
Now
that's
gone.
You might want to see a doctor about that.
I said my device is working slowly. The medicine he gives me for that works very fast.
Oh, okay. Can we get some? Wait, what am I asking for? Let's not do that.
No.
Okay.
No, no.
It's the last thing we need in here.
Well, then, do we want to just?
I think
go?
We.
No, it's spinny disking thingy.
You
give it
sure?
Just a couple more. We'll give it a couple more moments, just like a caller.
So most of our submissions have been for over.
That's right.
Were to catch up for the anthology, and I think so many of the people who send things in sent it in and basically said, this is all for the anthology. So we had nothing come in, except for with you know, Mr. David Padgett, who sent us some recorded clips. Yes. Obviously, we can't do them every segment, so we have some stacked up. We'll be playing them throughout the next few shows.
Yes.
Nice.
Speaking of anthology.
How are we doing on that?
How's it looking?
Oh, it's looking pretty darn good, actually.
Good.
So some of the people, not all, but some of the people who are going to be in it have been contacted already. And then, you know, we're slowly making down the line here, you know, and getting it all put together. And it'll be out well in time to buy it as Christmas gifts for people.
Awesome.
And to be able to have it shipped to you in time. So you'll be able to, you know, kind of give friends and family members a book of, you know, this community, and also with your work in it, or, you know, showcasing people you listen to every week, that will be a great way to, you know, to kind of give a great gift of poetry.
Yeah, definitely.
And not only will that be coming out in time for the holidays,
but we also have
a book by none other than the Haiku Master. We're waiting on a great...
It's actually playing. Everybody else can hear it, not us.
Oh. Absolutely amazing. Once again, that's why it's called FM.
And...
Hi-ya!
There can only be one. The title will be announced soon.
Yes.
We're working on the title. And then not only to mention, on the 30th of this month, so less than a month away... On our 3-year anniversary.
Yeah, we've been doing this for 3 years.
I know, right?
Yeah.
On our 3-year anniversary, I'll fulfill a promise I made to you months ago and be releasing an album for free to our listeners.
Yes.
Woo!
As well.
And then the real work begins, my friend.
The real work?
Yeah,
okay.
The world tour. Amadei world tour.
Oh, great.
The real work begins. I'm like... I've been working pretty hard.
No, you are working really hard, dude. I was just playing. All right, so, you know, this kind of came up finally. This is something I wrote back in January of 2012. The prompt for the contest was write a poem about an inanimate object. So, this is entitled Rust Bucket. I remember the first car I owned, earned with hard work and sweat, some help that the radio station loaned from a contest to help with my debt. Held together by a bungee cord, baling wire, magic, prayers, and luck. It was really all I could afford. Most journeys in it left me stuck. The gas tank was always empty, and the ashtray was always full. With body corrosion aplenty, time had really taken its toll. The motor I had blown and rebuilt, the brakes would grind at a stop, returning to motion with a jerky lilt, attracting the attention of every cop. But as a teen, I thought I was cool, me and my ride and source of frustration. Sometimes we made it all the way to the school, and other times, most trips, we were met with consternation. I look back on those days and lament at the times that I missed the car, I must admit. The best $800 I ever spent on a broken down piece of shit. I had for car aficionados, and Dennis will like this, I had a 1978 Mustang II Ghia that was cherry on the outside. Looked nice, but the motor was on its last legs, the brakes were going out, the transmission... And luckily, as luck would have it, I went to Central City on my 21st birthday, won enough to rebuild the motor and put a new tranny in it on my 21st birthday.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
How much did you pay for the tranny?
I don't pay for trannies. They
okay,
come for free.
Okay, good trap. You caught the trap.
Yes.
He's getting good. He's getting good. I used to be able to lay those there, and he would just walk
right through it. Yep.
And now he backs up and goes, something feels strange about this path through the forest. Think I'm going to take the other way around.
No, I'm not wearing a little Red Riding Hood.
I'm wearing enough green tights to cover all the Merry Men and Robin Hood.
Let's just let that one
go. Lots of quarter stabs around here, flying around in the woods. Do nothing but swing all day and occasionally rob rich folk.
All right. So we did fill up that segment, so we're going to try and do another one. Please call in now with your poetry, 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Don't delay. Call today. There were no callers for that segment, so we are going to go, zero.
What?
Zippo.
What?
Nothing.
I feel like I dressed up for the prom and my date didn't come pick me up in the limo like he said he would.
It's a feeling you're used to, right?
That never happened. I didn't dress up in a dress. I didn't take a limo to prom. Actually, I did, but I showed up in it.
I don't think that was a limo. I think that was a hearse, my friend.
No, that was a limo. The hearse is what I left the prom in.
Yes. Wow.
So
we want to do the return engagement. Please welcome, or please call 720-240-9766.
Please welcome and call 720-240-9766.
Or you can call and welcome 720-240-9766.
For the return engagement.
Engagement. Engagement.
Engagement. Engagement.
Call now. You are listening to World Poetry Open Mic. And we've got the return engagement in full effect. We've got five of the best callers lined up for you. Wow, another full segment. Okay, so we're not going to continue on that way.
Thank you. So, please don't. Oh my God.
You know, the fans of the Studio X have been mentioning that they've been missing that. And we just want you to know that there's been a serious remodel going on Studio X. However, there was a problem with the remodel.
There was. Do you mind if I mention this? I know it kind of gives away part of your training, JT, but it's. I just want to give an explanation.
Okay.
Hopefully it'll be worked out. So the Haiku Master is going for his level. He's actually going level 30 and 31 for his next test as a Haiku Master.
30
is going to
happen, but he doesn't know what's going to. He knows it's coming, but he doesn't know when.
Right, and that actually is what the 30th level is. Apparently, it's a surprise Haiku test.
Yes.
But the 31st involves a lot of balloon animals, apparently, and so in order to practice and to rehearse for this, we had to order an inordinate amount of helium tanks. Also, because we have a lot of parties.
And
we could really use balloon animals, and JT, that's going to be so helpful. So he was in there working, and, I mean, putting in 8 to 10 hours a day of balloon animal making. In Studio X? Well, I mean, that's the best place.
Yeah.
So he's in there, and he's working. I mean, I saw him make some incredible things. I saw a life-size or a life-like Angelina Jolie balloon animal made in 30 seconds. It was amazing. But then something happened, and there was a leak. And you had to escape. And as far as we know, it's been under quarantine, actually, if we're being honest. It's been under quarantine because we think the thing is full of helium. So we're a little concerned. We're just trying to let it leak out. We're trying to let the air just return to normal. We're running the air system in there. Maybe next week we'll go. In fact, we could bring the microphones. We could even go next week
and see
at least try.
What Studio X looks like.
Yeah.
And I think that might answer the questions.
And because Studio X is not actually attached to the house, there's no building inspector or anything like that that has to come out and take readings or anything like that?
Yeah.
The air system's totally separate.
Well, we tethered Studio X to the ground so it wouldn't just float away. And we don't think that enough helium could get in quickly with the Hadrian Collider. We don't think it could come in fast enough to make this house float away.
All right.
Yeah,
I follow. Okay. Yeah, let's go down there next week. We'll see if we can make it work. Anyway,
I'll get my anti-helium spacesuits ready.
I'll get my non-rebreather mask ready to go.
And please, please bring pants this time.
I thought Studio X was a pants-free zone, much like After Dark is a pants-free
zone. You think everywhere is a pants-free zone. Just because someone says make yourself comfortable does not mean the pants have to come off.
Oh.
Oh.
Maybe I should write that apology letter to my psychiatrist then.
And to the priest.
All right. So we do have five of the best lineup for you. Someone that also believes that everywhere is a pants-free zone. Please welcome from Connecticut, she is Barbara. Hello.
Hi, guys. I have to get my poem now.
You had all that time. We provided you.
You had one job, Barbara.
One job during that whole thing. You were caller number one.
No. I got too involved in the chat room. I'm so sorry. Let me find my poem somewhere.
Way to go, chat room.
Oh, blame everybody else except for yourself.
Blame the chat room.
Somebody has to be to blame.
Well, I thought I was going to be Vanessa Williams.
I find my poem.
Yeah.
It's okay. We'll just stall. You ready? Here.
All right.
Hand me that cane. Okay?
All right.
That's some fancy footwork.
It's coming.
Yeah, that's right. It is.
No, that's for the After Dark segment, please, Margaret.
No, look, it's coming along just fine.
This is what happens when a show has completely lost its mind.
Yes, it is.
You looked either like Fred Astaire or Michigan J.
Here
Frog. I'm not
I
sure
found which one. It.
You found it. Wonderful, Barbara.
I told you it wouldn't be too long, you know.
That was a while.
Anyway, this is basically me in a poem, okay? If you want to know who I am and why I am so the way I am, this is basically me. Okay, you ready?
All right.
Okay. Where I am from. I am from Brooklyn streets, from You Bet Syrup and Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, from Grandma's Kitchen on Friday afternoons, from baking golden challah aroma and bubbling chicken soup. I am from blueberry bushes hidden in dense forest, from scraped knees and summer friends, from Passover satyrs and Chinese food on Sunday nights, from Sam and Helen and Jacob Levine, from the food-laden table and Yiddish secrets. From everything comes to those who wait, and if at first you don't succeed, try again. I am from the shofar on Rosh Hashanah and lighting candles on Hanukkah, from eating ham and bacon but no milk with meat. I'm from Crown Heights in Williamsburg, Grodno, Poland, Austria, and the Lower East Side. From Jacob's escape from the Russian army to America, his travels back home, my father's journey in steerage, my grandmother's kirchhoff. I am from faded black and white photos, homemade peach ice cream churned by hand in wooden tubs, playing potsy and skate keys, from sweltering subways and summer camp where at last there was grass, from pickle smells and unmoving wooden school desks, from liquid ink and MIDI blasts, from follow the leader and giant steps outside iron-gated apartment houses, from the clink of the ball hitting the penny on summer nights, from no air conditioning, from Saturday morning movies with matrons to watch us and grandma's chicken sandwiches on homemade collie, from hot knishes in a room full of buttons hidden in the back of our material store, from yards of silk and organza, chiffon and taffeta, ribbons, trimmings, and buttons, from McCall's patterns and parents who worked all day in that store, from American Bandstand and circle skirts with appliques, from Your Hit Parade and the Jackie Gleason Show, from Ed Sullivan, I Love Lucy and Dinah Shore, from Perry Como and the Alan Freed Show, where I danced in my new homemade plaid outfit, from a principal who jumped off the roof, from Gabe Pressman and the news that was real, I am from a time that does not exist anymore.
So you did Chris's homework assignment, I take it. Very well done.
This is from a poet. Her name is, now let me just get it, because I know her name. Her name is, starts with a G, hold on. I have to get to Facebook to find it. I'm sorry,
confused.
Did you write that
or did someone else write that?
Oh, no, I wrote this, but I'm just going to give you the name of the person whose poem I used to write it.
Oh, okay.
I feel that she should have some kind of...
credit?
Yeah, she should be... here. What is her name?
That's right. What you could do is you could actually look that up and let us know next week. Kind of like Dennis did with his collaboration.
Yeah, this is... I'm just trying to find it.
All right. Well, Barbara, if you think about it, just put it down in the chat room. But
no, I have a name, though. I really feel okay. that I should give it to you.
No, no, sure. I understand. You could do it during the After Dark, too.
Okay. Barbara, thank you so much. We're going to get on. We got a big segment.
Yeah,
we got to keep going.
Okay, I'll send it to you guys.
All right, thank you.
On the chat room.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. All right.
All right, hold on. I was going to say.
Your coins?
What?
My goins are alerted.
His goiter's acting up again.
Sorry, I got to crank my goiter. Okay, I'm good.
Wow. Oh. This show is really silly.
It is a really weird show. Why is this such a weird show?
And it's not a full moon, I don't think.
No, it's not a full moon.
No, no.
Okay.
No.
Well, it's always a full moon, really.
No, no. No. I'm okay.
No, that's not a half moon.
Save that for later.
I didn't realize November was the hairy moon month.
Woo! All right.
No shave November.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. So,
and there goes half
we do have Philip on the line for us.
We have a caller ready?
Yes,
okay.
We do.
Please welcome from Kentucky, he is Philip.
Howdy, fellas.
Hey, how are you?
I am well, sir. We got the room all rocking in there. I don't know exactly what the hearts signify, but I think the last time we were well past 300, so...
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I tell you.
I think if we're lucky, once we get to 1,000, we can trade it in for a beef shawarma. So keep them coming. That's great.
I don't even know what that is, but it sounds great.
You've never had shawarma?
No, I have not. What is it? Is it a food?
Yeah, you need to find yourself Jerusalem Middle Eastern food restaurant and get yourself some shawarma.
Jerusalem's one. Okay, Philip, I'm going to find out near you where you can get shawarma. So keep going.
All right.
We'll have it by the end of your poem.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, I'm going to read a poem that I dedicated to my stepmother. She lost her mother November 1, and she was buried on November 4. And oftentimes I'm mistaken for being a stoned individual. Really, I'm just kind of off in my head. And as I was sitting there at the services, I suddenly heard something that sounded familiar, and my patron and good lady friend who was sitting next to me goes, "They're reading your poem, knucklehead." So it was quite a nice, unexpected. Let's put it that way. It was a very nice compliment. So this is for Beverly Roberts, who is my stepmother, and I say who recently lost her mother. And the title is Reaffirmations at Dawn. Walked upon unmeasured feet beyond the tenuous parameters where light and memory and image meet. My soul's stained with seasons, my past cleansed in waters of ritual ablutions. Gather dust from past nations, mighty, bold, and culturally gestalt, in my palms once stones that collected their names carved by lapidary artists. Faith without evidence, submission toward love and awe. And I almost said submission toward love and shawarma, but that wouldn't be very nice, so... And that's the poem, sir.
Submission towards love and shawarma wouldn't be nice, but incredibly tasty.
Mm. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Hey, so
I appreciate the applause and the humor, and I look forward to the adult segment of the poetry reading tonight.
Don't we all?
Don't we all?
Now, Philip, really quickly, Sahara Mediterranean Cuisine. It's on 3061 Fieldstone Way, Suite 1200 in Lexington, Kentucky. And they have shawarma.
All right.
Yeah, they say they have some of the best shawarma in town, so I would go try it.
Oh, man. Then I'll have to taste it, try it, and tell you all about it.
All right.
Thanks
so
much.
In fact, what you need to do is you need to get it to go next Friday and actually have your first taste of shawarma on the air with us.
On the air.
Oh, my goodness.
That would be awesome.
That's incredible radio.
Right. I don't know if that's good for radio. That sound,
obviously, we don't know what good radio is either, Philip.
We just... kind of fly by the seat of our pants.
And sometimes not our pants.
That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio.
You might have a virgin swarming.
A de-swarming?
A de-swarming.
What was
that? A de-swarming.
Wow.
I think they have a term for that. It's a de-swarma-warma.
De-swarma-warma, huh?
I'm just trying to put J-Todd completely out of commission.
You're getting close.
It's a silent boxing match we have going on here.
Oh. Wow.
This is amazing.
Thank you.
Quality radio here, guys.
And a thank you.
You know, somewhere, Robert, the owner of KZKO, is like, I knew it would come to this.
These guys are incredible.
Yes.
Yeah, we are. But anyway, that station couldn't hold us. Nothing can hold us. We are independent now. Much like Samantha from Michigan. Please welcome Samantha.
Good transition.
Much like Samantha from Michigan. Please welcome
Don't worry about that, Samantha. I had that effect on all women.
There you go.
How are you?
Doing good. How are
glad
you?
Glad to be back again.
We're happy to have you.
Okay, I don't have a title for this poem because I just wrote it this afternoon. It's kind of like how I spent my day today. So I'm open to title suggestions down the line. And when I'm done with this, I have a quick haiku for you. So here we go. Passing time in a diner, waiting for a ride, munching on chili cheese fries and choking down ghastly powdered iced tea. The waitress wanders by occasionally and, acting with diffidence so as not to disturb me, asks softly, "Is everything okay, ma'am?" "Perfect," I say without looking up. I brought a book of writing ideas and prompts. Something I could bury myself in to avoid looking up and accidentally meeting the gaze of some other displaced soul. I've never felt comfortable sitting alone. It's been 20 minutes and I've read only 2 pages. But I keep my head down, pretending to study. I feel a flutter of air as the waitress goes by. Cautiously, at the risk of being discovered, I shift my eyes to peer over the top of brown-rimmed dollar store reading glasses. One booth over, 2 elderly ladies sit with coffee. They lean in, chatting softly, as they were taught. They look comfortable in each other's company, like they have been friends for years. The blonde dresses upper casual. Her hair is thick and flared away from her face. Her nails are neatly manicured. She wears chunky earrings and bangled bracelets to draw attention away from a portly waistline that she is embarrassed by and tries to deny. The other lady is frail, less noticeable in her cap-sleeve sweater and polyester pants. There is a sadness growing in her eyes, one that betrays her attempts to look happy. I envision that she has recently received news that she isn't ready to share with anyone. I'm not sure her friend has noticed, or will. Could her secret be the reason her hair is so sparse? A couple of young men walk in and take seats. One of them is wearing a camouflage jacket. I wonder to myself, should I tell him it isn't working? I can still see him plain as day. Across the room, a couple sit having dinner. She's not very tall. Her feet barely touch the floor. She makes up for it with large gestures that accommodate a constant run of conversation, words alternating with bites of moussaka and rice. She must be telling him a great story, or just rehashing her day, or their day. He's a big man, maybe 6'5", and towers over her, but he sits leaning over his plate, eating in silence. I've still only read 2 pages. That's it.
Very well done.
Thank you. You want your haiku now?
By rule, we don't do 2 poems per phone call. However, the haiku master is telling me that it's yes, and he pilots the show here, so go for it.
It's quick, and it's dedicated to you guys tonight.
Vanity gets us everywhere. Yes. I mean, you everywhere.
Of course. All right, here we go. It's the 575 format. World Poetry Night. Call in and share what you wrote. Pants are optional.
Nice.
It's almost like a documentary haiku. It's so realistic.
Yes.
Okay, there you go, boys. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Samantha. That was Samantha from Michigan on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio.
You know, I have to say, here's something that is, it's just, you know how there's little things when you're doing a show like this, there's little elements that keep popping up that eventually end up being one of your most favorite parts of the show.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts of the show is when we surprise poets by going to them.
Yes.
So
I love that.
There's a collection. We could actually go back probably. We probably edited them out, but we could go back to a lot of our archives and just put together a collection of going to so-and-so. Are you there? Ah! Like, right?
That's true.
The sound effects of people being shocked and realizing they're diving for their poetry.
Or they're diving for their sound control on their computer.
Exactly.
To turn it down. Yeah.
And I just, that's strangely become one of my favorite parts of the show.
I learned that in college. Sometimes to break the monotony of talk radio, you have to do a quick segue. That way people are on their guard.
Yep. Yep.
It's one of the things DG House up in Montana taught me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I see.
So.
I see. So that's why. Mm-hmm. That's why you do what you do.
Yeah.
Can I tell you why I do what I do?
There are posters on the post office wall explaining why you do what you do.
But, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, so. They're probably pretty accurate, actually. I don't think I can really tell you. Really. Oh.
Just kidding, bro.
I just like to have a good time.
Yeah. Someone who really loves to have a good time, please welcome from Texas, poetically speaking, she is Juanita.
Hello? Yes?
Hello.
Hello, I'm back here. I've got a poem called The Color of Light.
All right.
Okay. I used to be pink, innocent, sweet, like the bleeding heart flower, swaying carefree in the breeze of my spring. Running in plum-colored grasses on meadows thick and lush. Then I became golden bronze, strong, bold, with a tint of mauve rust, holding on to the colors of summer grain, playing in the sorghum sweet, running in love fields. Then I became orange like the falling leaves, protected by thick, thorny branches and stalks, blowing in the wind, making sweet music. Leaves stripped by the gale, I stood bare in his mist. Lastly, I became red, like the sweet rose and the ripest fruits. Bright red blood tints that colored my soul. My heart full of scars that never healed and were never seen. Yet I danced with a dream, smelling the earthy scent of the cold winter wind. Earth so rich and fertile. Fully colored, my soul returned home. Then I became a rainbow, so beautifully colored. Then I just closed my eyes. That's it.
I love your words. I love your imagery. I really like the fact that you call up our show and share these with us, too.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Appreciate the format that I can present this work, and I love writing this.
Well, as long as people keep calling, we're going to keep doing the show because this is what we're about. We love poetry here.
It's a good thing. It's out there. There were a few places, you know, that can share that through the radio. It's nice, but you don't have to get dressed to go anywhere.
That's true. That's why pants are optional.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Juanita.
Good night.
That was Juanita Garcia Vera from Texas on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio.
You know, when you think about it, the way we could make this pants are optional thing really not sexy is to say, pants are optional, but socks aren't.
I always wear my socks. I don't care what's going on.
That's why you get all the ladies, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And let's move on.
I got nothing.
Yeah, me neither. I got nothing. So, let's just take it around town to Morton Carroll in Pennsylvania.
Get around town.
Morton Carroll in Pennsylvania.
This is so weird hearing the sounds come back at us through their radio.
It's kind of like our reminds me of like a teacher staring at me when I was a kid going just shaking their head. Hello?
Hello.
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 How are you?
Doing pretty good.
Excellent.
I gotta lower my sound again. Okay, that's better. Yeah, I got another poem for you, and it's called Missing You. And it goes like this. To my dearest humongous devil food cake, you're going to make me fat as you give me a cavity. You're so sweet, like an ice cube misses the freezer, it melted. As always, I'm loving and missing you. Somehow, being parted is not getting softer, like they say it would in time. I miss you like you would miss your teeth, trying to eat a juicy steak. I feel so empty inside, like life has no meaning. All I ever wanted was to marry a good man and raise a family together. This would have been my life's desire. The pain of looking at your picture keeps taunting me, breaks my heart in a million pieces. You were the greatest sweetheart a girl could ever dream of calling her own. We had what others wanted, holding hands wherever we went, curling up, watching TV by this hour, just thinking of the memory. Makes me feel so incomplete, like half of me is missing. I'm so broken without you by my side. We have parted ways. I wish I had never existed. My purpose is gone, like it is totally wasted. Everything I have tried for is gone. My memory has faded away. Life without you, honey, is not sunny anymore. Doesn't even seem worth it going on without you. And our memories alone is just too much to bear. I'm always thinking of you, no matter what I'm doing or where I'm at. When I sleep, my dreams are of you in fantasy land. The man in the moon is blushing, sweeter than honey, getting harder and harder to get through the day without you, my love. Don't want to feel such empty emotions. The nights feel never ending. I'm mainly crazy in love with you, such sheer torture. The only man I could ever love, and that man is you. Okay, that's it.
Very well written. You know, when a woman loves a man that strong, amazing.
Well, when I give my heart, I give my all.
Yeah?
Yes.
A great way to live.
Yes, it is.
When I give my heart, I lose my life, so I think the next person I fall in love with, I'm going to cut Michael's heart out and give it to him.
Well, despite the gruesome and mean-spirited, you know, thoughts behind that, I think it's a really good and powerful idea, jackass. Good luck taking it from me, because I hope you can do it with one frickin' eye.
Martin Carroll, thank you for calling our show.
Sure, glad to do it. A lot of fun.
Awesome, and we'll talk to you during the After Dark segment.
Yeah, I'll be on until you know the show's over and all that.
Beautiful. That was Martin Carroll on World Poetry Open Mic, the next Evolution Poetry Radio.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, man. I always thought you were going to try to cut my heart out.
Yeah, you know.
I always thought it was metaphorical. But now I know. That's why I carry these nunchucks with me all the time.
Ta-ya!
Yep. There's no better way to keep someone from cutting your heart out than with nunchucks.
Ta-ya!
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe plate mail might be a good way to keep them from getting your
armor. No. Plate mail doesn't exist. Plate armor and chain mail do.
Sorry, plate armor.
No, technically. But, hey, nunchucks, lighter, faster, easier. Haven't had my heart cut out yet. And it's been tried.
Where did I go wrong tonight? Maybe leaving the house was...
It might have been. It's okay.
Probably right.
We're going to survive this night.
So.
All right. That's going to end the show. The proper show. We're going to be going to After Dark for those that want to partake of that. If you're listening with your family, if you want only PG-13 content, now is the perfect time to tune off. We do want to thank you for tuning in and urge you to tune in next Friday at 8 p.m. Mountain Time. That's... 10 p.m. Eastern and 9 p.m. Central and 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday in Australia.
Something like that.
All right. For Michael, JT, and myself, we thank you for tuning in. Good night, Robert Marlin, wherever you're at.